Thank you, Pastor Mark. Wow, nowhere to go but down from here. I mean, that was, the applause at the end is not that good. We're gonna know what happened. As Mark mentioned, my name is Amin. And yes, I am on the team, and my primary focus is our online community. Do you know that every single week, hundreds of households are joining with us on Sunday mornings? And I'm so excited to be leaning into that community to help provide pathways for them to get further connected in the life of all that we do. So you'll keep hearing more about that. If you're online, I'm excited to meet you and spend more time with you. But yeah, I mean, it's been great. I've known Mark now for, just under 2 years. He's been one of my pastoral coaches, my only pastoral coach. And I don't know, I think he's doing a fine job. You'll be the judge of that soon enough. If I think I'm slightly better than I was 2 years ago, but TBD. But it's been great. Great meeting the staff the last few months. And my wife and I, Michelle. Michelle, raise your hand. There it is. There's Michelle. Sorry, I don't know what to do now. Yes, we've been here the last few Sundays. It's been great meeting you all. I find myself saying this phrase again and again and again. I think I've said it 50 times today. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. And it's a great phrase, right? Because it kind of says everything. I mean, that's where we are. This is 101. This is the first step. I don't know you. You don't know me. We have no baggage, no history. We're just starting. Nice to meet you. Now, the hope is we don't stay at that nice to meet you space for very long, that we'll take next steps, we'll grow, we'll get to know each other more and more. But I wonder for you right now, if you think about your different relationships or think of the different places you find yourself week in, week out, how many of the people around you have you basically maintained a nice to meet you type of relationship? Surface level, basic, we don't go too deep, we kind of leave it at the door. I wonder for those of you in this room right now, as you look around, you're like, man, I've been going to church with these people for years and years, but how many of the people in this room, after years, have you maintained basically a nice to meet you type of relationship? Because for us, what Jesus is calling us to is that we're meant to live our lives in such a way that the majority of our relationships escalate well beyond nice to meet you, but step into something deeper that he's calling us towards. See, community was at the core of Jesus. In the midst of his teachings and his healings and his miracles, Jesus was building up this special, unique, world-changing community, unlike anything that's ever happened before. Do you notice that every invitation Jesus came to come and to follow him was also an invitation to step into community? Every invitation Jesus gives when he says, come and follow me, was also an invitation to step into the community that he was forming. And the people that took those steps, I think they realized pretty quickly that this wasn't necessarily an easy community. That you can't really stay in the nice to meet you space for very long. Because the first thing they notice is, wow, this community doesn't all look like me. They don't act like me, they don't talk like me, they don't have the same background as me, the same experiences as me. I mean, just look at the disciples. In that group, you have fishermen and scholars. You have a thief and religious zealots. You have tax collectors, and on and on and on. And this is the community of people that Jesus was building and bringing around him. And the second thing they were going to notice when they step into this community is, oh, this is difficult because we're being called to something more. Because they didn't know where they're going to sleep from night to night to night. They didn't know where their next meal was going to be coming from. But the invitation that Jesus was giving them was to come and to join him and step into this unique community. Because what we see through the Gospels and through the book of Acts and into the New Testament is this reality that when you step into that community, your lives are going to be transformed. When you say yes and step into the community that Jesus is calling you towards, your life will be transformed. And you'll also transform the lives of others. That's the invitation. So the question I hope that's on your mind right now is, so how do we do it? How do we go from this nice to meet you place that we might be in and step deeper into the community that he's calling us towards? So the title of the message this morning, nice to meet you. The subtitle and what we're going to be spending our time talking about this morning is, what does true community require from us? What does true community require from us? If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to be in the book of Luke chapter 5. We'll spend a little bit of time here. Of course, the verses will be on the screen as well. And when we find ourselves in the book of Luke, Jesus has begun his public ministry. He's doing his Jesus thing. He's teaching, he's healing, he's doing miracles. He's called some of the disciples with him. And while he's on his way from town to town, he comes across this man named Levi. And this is where we're going to pick up the story. Luke 5, 27. It says this. After this, he went out, and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." The first thing that true community requires from us is being available. We have to be available. Jesus called Levi. Levi got up and he started following Jesus. We have to say yes. We have to take a step. We don't often stumble and find ourselves in community. We have to be intentional. We have to move forward. We have to be available and create space, and not just available physically. This isn't just about, all right, I scheduled out an hour in my calendar for you. No, this is, I'm here. I'm present. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, we have to be available. That's where it begins. And yet the reality is, it's not always that easy, is it? Being available can be hard. It can be difficult. It can be challenging. There could be barriers in that for us. And if we just step deeper into the story of Levi, we're gonna see the reality of what it costs Levi to say yes and to be available to Jesus. Because it says this sentence that's so easy to kind of blow through. Verse 28, it says, "And leaving everything, he rose and followed him." Leaving everything, he rose and followed him. So what was that everything? What did Levi give up? And the only clue we get from scripture is where Jesus found him. Where was Levi when Jesus came across him? You can yell out, it's fine. You don't need to yell out. A tax collector's booth. He was a tax collector collecting taxes. Now I know we just got through tax season. Thank you to all the CPAs out there that helped us navigate all this. We are thankful for you. But Levi being a tax collector meant something totally different at that time in that place. We have to remember that during this time, Israel was under the occupation of Rome. Rome controlled everything. Rome was in charge. And a part of how Rome led was to oppress the Jewish people. And a part of that oppression was, we're going to charge taxes to the Jewish people. But instead of sending the Roman soldiers or the Roman government to go collect these taxes, they're like, you know what? We're just going to raise up and hire a few of the Jewish people to collect taxes on behalf of us. So who were tax collectors? They're working with the enemy. They're helping the enemy take taxes from us. They're helping the enemy extort from us. You're making this happen. You're working with the bad guy. And that would be bad enough if it just ended there. But it gets worse. Because not only did they do that, here's what Rome did. Rome says, tax collectors, not only do we need you to collect taxes on behalf of us, but anything you want to charge more than that, you get to keep. Give us what is owed to us, and the rest of it you get to keep. So if we want $100 per household and you want to charge $250, great, keep your extra $150. That's all yours. And guess what? You have the weight of the Roman government behind you, so they're going to pay up. So who were tax collectors? They were traitors. Worse than the enemy. They turned on their fellow brothers and sisters. They were extorting them. They were stealing from them. Tax collectors were ostracized from society. They were not allowed in the synagogues or the temple courts, the center of all Jewish life and community. They were not allowed in. They were sent to the edges. So who was Levi? A tax collector. Someone likely whose family and friends have abandoned him. The only thing he had left in his life was being a tax collector. He had burned every other bridge that he had. This was it. And so when it says that leaving everything, he rose up to follow Jesus, this is what it means. He left the last thing he had. He left his identity, all he had left, all he knew. But there was something about the invitation from Jesus that made Levi take that step forward as he's looking at Jesus and looking at that community. See, there are times in our life that Jesus will call us towards radical following and radical availability. There are times in our life Jesus will press us towards something this radical, saying, this is what it looks like for you to be available. And there are other times that Jesus is really calling us towards simple availability. That's actually much easier than that. And if you're like me, that's actually often the harder one. I became a Christian later in life, somewhere around end of high school, early college. Started attending, going to a church towards the end of my senior year in college. I went to school at a place called University of Pacific in Stockton. Any Stockton fans in the room? Oh! We had one person last service, but they told me after service, they're like, hey, psh, by the way, I'm from Stockton. Go Tigers. Go 209 area code. I was attending a church. I went to a church. I didn't know what it meant to be a part of a church. But church was something I would go to in the same way I would go to an event or go to a movie. After I graduated college, I lived in the East Bay in a city called Walnut Creek. And I found this little church that I could attend. None of my friends were Christians, so I was kind of going alone. And because, again, church was something I would just go to, I had no interest in really knowing or meeting anybody. It wasn't a priority. And so then I also kind of architected my going to church a certain way. Show up 5 minutes late, lights are low, worship is happening, I can go sneak and sit in the back. Not calling the back row people out at all, but that's just what I would do, go sit in the back. Closing prayer happens, everyone bows their heads, I'm up, out the door, in my car, and home before amen. The only one issue I had, and you know the issue, was that weird time in between, and we just did it. The greet time. Oh, the dreaded greeting. And so I'm like, man, I don't want to say hi to anybody. I just go to this church. And so how can I get around this? And here's what I came up with, and you cannot steal this and use this. I will call you out if you do. I brought with me a journal and a Bible, and as soon as that last song started landing, I opened that journal, and man, you would have thought I was writing a novel. I was just writing in there so intensely, because what I wanted people to do was like, oh man, God is speaking to this guy right now. Something's going on with him. Don't bother him. Don't interrupt him. Him and the Lord. I don't journal. Never journaled in my life. I don't like journaling. Believe it or not, I'm a verbal processor. Shocking. But man, oh man, was I writing something. I have no idea what it was. I'm sure it was like a grocery list, a to-do list, the latest news on the Dodgers. I have no clue. Do you think I found true community in Walnut Creek? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I can't tell you the name of anybody I attended church with for 6 months, and they can't tell you my name either. A simple step of being available, of shaking somebody's hand, of looking somebody in the eyes, of saying hello. See, there's times Jesus calls us to the radical, and there's times he calls us to the simple. And not that the simple is necessarily easy either, but we have to take a step. We have to be available. So I wonder for you this morning what that looks like for you. Maybe for you, it might mean that after service, you don't just get in your car and go home, but you might stick around and linger. We have coffee and donuts. And you don't want your kids grabbing donuts and taking that in the car with them, so now you have to stick around. Maybe for you, it's just lingering. It's hanging out. Maybe if you're online and you've been watching, maybe your next step is saying, okay, I'm gonna say yes to this Facebook group. I'm gonna identify myself, make myself known, say hi. I don't know what it means, but I'm taking a step. Maybe you're great at this. Maybe you're the social person. Maybe you know every person in this room right now. Maybe for you this morning, what it looks like is after service, instead of going towards the people that you know really well and that you care about, that you might take a moment and look out at that courtyard and say, I think that person's standing by themselves. They may not know anyone. Let me say hello to them. What does it look like for you to be available? True community requires from us being available. And the second thing it requires is for us to be authentic. We don't just show up, friends. We don't just show up, but when we show up, we have to be authentic. We have to be real. We have to be honest. We have to bring our real selves to the table. And I wanna go back to the story in Luke just for a moment, because we see the reality of this in what happens to Levi. Because what happens after he follows Jesus? Throws a party. And being a tax collector, I'm guessing he had a pretty nice big house with a large dining table. So he throws a party, he invites Jesus over, his disciples. And do you notice who else is there with Levi? And there was a large company of tax collectors. Who are Levi's friends? Tax collectors. He didn't have any other friends. So Levi could have made a choice. Inviting Jesus and his followers to the table. So I'm gonna clean up my life, hide all my sin, make myself look presentable, show up alone, and this is who I am. Or he could bring his real self, his past, his present, everything about him. So he invited this group of tax collectors. And so now picture this table. You have Jesus at the center, disciples, tax collectors, the Pharisees, the religious leaders that are like, what in the world is happening right now? All together at the same place. And it doesn't say this, but I have to imagine that in that group of followers of Jesus were people sitting there and they're looking across the table at a tax collector and they're saying, you're my tax collector. You've stolen money from me. You've exploited me and my family. Because what happens when we bring our authentic selves to the table, it can get messy really fast, right? But yet, isn't this exactly the type of table Jesus finds himself in again and again and again? Isn't this exactly the type of table that he's calling us towards? And this is the reality. When we're authentic, when we bring our whole selves, yeah, we bring our mess. We don't have perfect little communities because guess what? We're not perfect little people. We bring our quirks. I mean, last week, Matt talked about pet peeves. I could have named 100 of them. Some of you are doing them right now. No, I'm kidding, you're not. But you bring all your stuff to the table. You bring your mess, you bring your hurt, your pain, your joy, your excitement. You bring all of it to the table and it can get messy when we all come together, but that's okay. You know why? Because what else are we bringing to the table? Jesus. Let's not forget our identity. Let's not forget what we just walked through with Good Friday and Easter Sunday, what Shelby just prayed over us. We are children of God. We are his sons and daughters. And because of who Jesus is, who are we now? He sees us as holy, blameless, pure. We're giving every spiritual blessing. Do you feel that in this room right now? Because that's who you are. So yeah, we bring our mess, we bring our whole selves, but it's okay because who's at the center of that table? Jesus. So we bring that as well. Our grace, our patience, our forgiveness. Paul talks about this again and again and again when he's talking to churches. And I always love when you see these patterns from Paul because you're like, oh, he knew there was a problem. Paul talked about the reality of what happens when we come together and the messes we can get ourselves in because he talks about how to fix it. Paul didn't expect us to have these perfect little communities. No, he knew we'd be a mess. But he's like, it's okay. Just remember who you are. Remember your identity. Remember what needs to flow through you. I want to go to one of those places in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And Paul says this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. What's that calling? Children of God. So walk in that manner. So what does it look like to walk in the manner of being a children of God? Well, we walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You don't have to tell us to bear with one another if we're really good at it. You have to tell us to do it to remind us that it's hard and it can be messy and it can be challenging. But we bring Jesus to the table as well. We forgive because we recognize how much we've been forgiven. We show compassion because we know how much compassion we have received. We show grace towards one another because we know how much grace has been come into our lives. It flows back out of us. It doesn't stay with us. And so the question this morning then, probably two questions I would assume. So where do you do this and how do you do this? Where do you do this? Doesn't often happen here on Sundays, right? This is a lot of one-way communication. I'm up here, I got the mic, you don't. I can go all day here with this microphone. You can't go anywhere. But this is more one-way communication. You might find those moments or those pockets, but this isn't really where it happens. This is why we have grow groups. This is why we have grow groups, because those are the tables where you come to get to know people, that you show up, you're available, you're authentic, and this is the place where you're able to do this. Whether you're in person or online, we're launching our online one soon, this is a space where this can happen. So that's a part of the where. How do we do this? How do we bring our whole selves? For some of it, it's easy. You don't need the how, you know the how, you know how to do this, you're really good at this. I'm one of those people. When I'm in my group and I'm in with my people, I am honest, I am open, not a problem for me. Probably too honest and open with my people. And so the challenge for me, and if you're like that, maybe the challenge for us is, how are we creating space for others to bring themselves to the table? Is it being silent more, which is a problem for me? Is it asking more intentional questions? Is it following up with people? Is it just being present and paying attention and say, I care? And if this is more challenging for you, then we're gonna walk through this exercise right now that I think might help. So bear with me, trust me. My prediction is that the majority of people in this room right now walked in carrying something. You walked in carrying something. There's something weighing on you. Maybe you thought about it all weekend. Maybe it kept you up all night. Maybe you thought about it this morning. Maybe you've been thinking about it as you drove in here during the worship time while I'm talking. There's just something that's there. Usually it's a couple things. Could be small, could be big. Could be hard things, could be challenging things, things that are weighing on you, things that are stressing you out, things that are causing you so much anxiety. It could be good things, things that are exciting and joyful that you're looking forward to. But my prediction is the majority of people in this room, you walked in carrying something. So I'm not gonna ask for what it is, but just would you raise your hand? If you walked in carrying something today, would you raise your hand? I'm expecting every hand to be raised. Good job, church. So my question for you then, what community are you a part of where people know what that thing is? What community do you find yourself where somebody knows what that thing is that's weighing on you? Because we can hold it on our own, we can minimize it, we can compartmentalize it, we're really good at those things, but who knows the things that are weighing on us? Who's checking in with you? Who's praying for you? So you might not be ready to show up to a group and be like, here's all my junk, and maybe that's a good thing probably, but could you at least do that? And saying, hey, just so you guys know, this week, this is weighing on me. Great. That's a step. Because that's what it looks like to bring our real selves to the table. What authentic community requires from us to be the type of community that Jesus is calling us to be, we need to be available, we need to be authentic, and lastly, we need to invest in others. We need to be a community of people that's seeking to be investing in others. Paul talked about this in his letter to this church in Philippi. And Paul was great at using these pictures of Jesus and these examples of Jesus and the characteristics of Jesus to help the people understand this is what you're modeling. And to the Philippians, he was trying to remind them of the humility of Jesus. That was a big thing for him with the Philippians. And so I showed him this picture, like just picture the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth, the God over everything. That God came down here to earth. King Jesus left his throne to come and to be among us, to walk with us. I love the phrase dwell. He came to dwell with us. That's who King Jesus is. Look at that humility of Jesus to come and to be with us. We don't just hold that and say, wow, that's great, Jesus. No, we're supposed to own it and reflect it back out. And in Philippians, Paul says this, and I want to share this with you. Philippians chapter 2. He says in verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Here's the hard part. Paul is reminding us the community is not just about you. It's not just about you. It's not you getting all your needs met or finding the perfect community with the perfect people. And I'm preaching to myself here. I can be very guilty of this. I'm good at being available. I got time. I'm good at being authentic. Open book. But the type of community where I need to invest in others, I'll do it if it's my kind of people. My friends, the people I care about, the people that make me laugh, the people that are easy. And if then we meet on the right night, at the right time, in the right location, and you bring the right dinner, okay, I'm in. This is easy. This is great. Now you know my playbook. But if those things aren't there, and now that person's going to be part of it, and they're difficult, and I don't know them that well, and we have a little bit of friction, now I don't want to be part of that community. And what Paul is reminding us is, it's not about you. Community is not about you getting every one of your needs met and finding this perfect community and it's all gravy and glory. No, it's looking at the needs of others. Who needs you to be in that group? Who needs to hear from you? Who needs your care and attention? What does it look like for us to be a people that seek to invest in others? And I'm not saying that every group we need to be a part of is like the most dreadful group of our lives. That's not what I'm saying. But I think what we can do so often is overcorrect to such a degree that when we think about, even right now, the events you've said yes to, the things that you're going towards, the dinners you're going to engage in, is it really with people that are all easy and your kind of people, or who in there do you feel like you need to invest back in? How do you make decisions in your life about what you're saying yes and no to? And when you step into this place, what does it look like for you to invest in them? What are their needs? Is it resources? That man, God might be telling you that you might be able to help out with a situation. Is it your time, which for some of us, we'd much rather write the check and then actually show up? Do they need you to just pay attention to them? Do they need you to check in? Who is that person that you haven't texted? Who's the person you need to grab a lunch with? Who's the family you need to bring into your home because they've had a long month? Who are those people? And here's the sneaky part. You gotta know the needs. You have to invest in people to know their needs. Because if you're thinking about your circle right now and you're thinking about the people in your community and you can't think of the specific needs that they have, I would challenge you that you might need to lean in a little more. Because 5 minutes ago, every single hand in this room raised up and saying, yes, I'm carrying something today. And some of y'all know each other really well. Do you know why those hands were raised? See, the type of community Jesus is calling us into says we need to be available. We have to say yes, it might cost us something. We have to be authentic. We show up and we bring our whole selves. And we have to seek to invest in others. That I'm paying attention to you. That I care about you. That I'm gonna engage with you. And the reality is, this isn't easy. This is hard. And this isn't a playbook. If you do these three things, you're gonna find this perfect community and it's all gonna be great. No, it doesn't work like that. It can be challenging. But here's the invitation. It's the same invitation Jesus gave to his disciples. If you say yes to this, if you choose to move beyond a nice to meet you kind of relationship with people, if you step into this type of community, his promise is that it will change our lives. It will transform us, and through us, it'll transform the world. That's why we do it. This is what it means to be a light to the world, that there's something about these people and this community that looks different from everyone else. Because it's easier to be anonymous and to be checked out and to just care about ourselves. But what is different about this group of people? That's what we're moving towards. That's why we're seeking true community. And so the question for all of us as we get ready to walk out the door here is, what does your next yes look like for community? Whether you're here in person or online, what's your next yes for community? What does that look like for you today? Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that in spite of our brokenness and in spite of our mess, you are the God that sees us as holy and as pure, Father. That you look at us and you call us your sons and your daughters, even though there are times we don't feel like it, Father. You are the God that pursues and pursues, that you are constant, that you've never let go, you've never walked away, Father. God, this morning I pray that our hearts would recognize the call that you're putting on us. However simple or however difficult, Father, that we know we need to move forward. That there's people that you're calling us to move towards, Father. There's people that you're calling us to pay attention towards. And not because we have all the answers or we're perfect or we know what to do, Father, no. Because you're a God that calls us to live in community together, to pay attention to one another, to seek to live lives of grace and forgiveness and compassion with one another. Father, let us live our lives in a manner worthy of the calling that we have received, Father. Let us trust you with our yeses, Father. Let us trust you with our next steps, even if we don't know what it looks like. Because you are good, Father, and you are strong. Lord, I thank you for this community, Father. I thank you for the people who have showed up, God. I pray, Father, that we would walk out feeling encouraged by your love and your goodness in our lives. Jesus, we love you. Amen.